Welcome to Storytime with the Muskingum County Library System. My name is Jennifer, and today we will be reading the first chapters of a book called Wish Tree, written by Catherine Applegate and published by Fywell and Friends. This book is about a tree that plays a really special part in its community. Before we get started, I would like to invite all of our friends, tall and small, to join us for the story. We love when parents and caregivers participate with their children. Your child is going to learn better and be more attentive with you there as a role model. Storytime is a special time to spend with your child because both of you are going to be learning together and you're having fun and you're bonding. And when you read together at home, be sure to ask your child questions before, during, and after a story. It's a proven way for building comprehension. Did you know that trees can talk? Well, of course they can. But nature has one really important rule that must never be broken. Animals and trees should never, ever talk to humans. This story is about an oak tree named Red. Red is a very special tree because red is a wishing tree. That means that each year on the first day of May, people from all over the neighborhood write their wishes on scraps of paper or cloth and tie them onto Red's branches. And you might think that Red, who is 216 rings, old, those are tree years for all of you out there who are non-arborist. You might think that Red has seen it and heard it all. But then a new family moves in and some trouble starts that Red has never really seen before. And Red's experiences as a wishing tree are more important than ever. This is Wish Tree. It begins with a poem called Be Different to Trees, written by Mary Carolyn Davies. The talking oak to the ancient spoke, but any tree will talk to me. What truths I know I garnered so, but those who want to talk and tell, and those who will not listeners be, will never hear a syllable from out of the lips of any tree. Chapter 1. It's hard to talk to trees. We're not big on chit-chat. That's not to say we can't do amazing things, things you'll probably never do. Cradle downy owlets, steady flimsy tree forts, photosynthesize. But talk to people? Not so much. And just try to get a tree to tell a good joke. Trees do talk to some folks, the ones we know we can trust. We talk to daredevil squirrels. We talk to hardworking worms. We talk to flashy butterflies and bashful moths. Birds? They're delightful. Frogs? Grumpy, but good-hearted. Snakes? Terrible gossips. Trees. I never met a tree I didn't like. Well, okay, there is that sycamore down on the corner. Yakety, yakety, yak, that one. So do we ever talk to people? Actually talk? That most peoply of people skills? Good question. Trees have a rather complicated relationship with people after all. One minute you're hugging us, the next minute you're turning us into tables and tongue depressors. Perhaps you're wondering why the fact that trees talk wasn't covered in science class during those Mother Nature is our friend lessons. Don't blame your teachers. They probably don't know that trees can talk. Most people don't. Nonetheless, if you find yourself standing near a particularly friendly-looking tree on a particularly lucky-feeling day, it can't hurt to listen up. Trees can't tell jokes, but we can certainly tell stories. And if all you hear is the whisper of leaves, don't worry. Most trees are introverts at heart. Chapter 2. Name's Red, by the way. Maybe we've met. Oak tree near the elementary school, big but not too big, sweet shade in the summer, fine color in the fall. I'm proud to say that I'm a northern red oak, also known as Quercus rubra. Red oaks are one of the most common trees in North America. In my neighborhood alone, hundreds upon hundreds of us are weaving our roots into the soil like knitters on a mission. I have ridged, reddish-gray bark, leathery leaves with pointed lobes, stubborn, searching roots, and, if I do say so myself, the best fall color on the street. Red doesn't begin to do me justice. Come October, I look like I'm ablaze. It's a miracle the fire department doesn't try to hose me down every autumn. You might be surprised to learn that all red oaks are named Red. Likewise, all sugar maples are called sugar. All junipers are called juniper. and all boojum trees are called boojum. That's how it is in the tree world. We don't need names to tell each other apart. Imagine a classroom where every child is named Melvin. Imagine the poor teacher trying to take attendance every morning. It's a good thing trees don't go to school. Of course, there are exceptions to the name rule. Somewhere in Los Angeles, there's a palm tree who insists on being called Karma, but you know how Californians can be. Chapter 3. My friends call me Red, and you can too. But for a long time, the people in this neighborhood have called me the Wish Tree. There's a reason for this, and it goes way back to when I wasn't much more than a tiny seed with higher aspirations. Long story. Every year on the first day of May, people come from all over town to adorn me with scraps of paper, tags, bits of fabric, snippets of yarn, and the occasional gym sock. Each offering represents a dream, a desire, a longing. Whether draped, tossed, or tied with a bow, they're all hopes for something better. Wish trees have a long and honorable history, going back centuries. There are many in Ireland where they are usually hawthorns or the occasional ash tree, but you can find wish trees all over the world. For the most part, people are kind when they visit me. They seem to understand that a tight knot might keep me from growing the way I need to grow. They are gentle with my new leaves, careful with my exposed roots. After people write their hopes on a rag or piece of paper, they tie it onto one of my branches. Usually, they whisper the wish aloud. It's traditional to wish on the 1st of May, but people stop by throughout the year. My, oh my, the things I have heard. I wish for a flying skateboard. I wish for a world without war. I wish for a week without clouds. I wish for the world's biggest candy bar. I wish for an A on my geography test. I wish Miss Gentarini weren't so grumpy in the morning. I wish my gerbil could talk. I wish my dad would get better. I wish I weren't hungry sometimes. I wish I weren't so lonely. I wish I knew what to wish for. So many wishes, grand and goofy, selfish and sweet. It's an honor, all the hopes bestowed upon my tired old limbs. Although by the end of May Day, I look like someone dumped a huge basket of trash on top of me. Chapter 4. As you've probably noticed, I'm more talkative than most trees. This is new for me. I'm still getting the hang of it. Nonetheless, I've always known how to keep a secret. You have to be discreet when you're a wish tree. People tell trees all kinds of things. They know we'll listen. It's not like we have a choice. Besides, the more you listen, the more you learn. Bongo says I'm a busybody, and I suppose she has a point. She's my best pal, a crow I've known since she was nothing but a pecking beak and a speckled egg. We disagree sometimes, but that's the way of all friends, no matter their species. I've seen so many surprising friendships during my life, a pony and a toad, a red-tailed hawk and a white-footed mouse, a lilac bush and a monarch butterfly. And all of them had disagreements from time to time. I think Bongo is too pessimistic for such a young bird. Bongo thinks I'm too optimistic for such an old tree. It's true, I am an optimist. I prefer to take the long view on life. Old as I am, I've seen both good and bad, but I've seen far more good than bad. So Bongo and I agree to disagree, and that's fine. We're very different after all. Bongo, for example, thinks the way trees name ourselves is ridiculous. As is the custom with crows, Bongo chose her name after her first flight. It may not be her only name, however. Crow names change on a whim. Bongo's cousin Gizmo has had 17 names. Sometimes crows adopt human names. I've seen more Joe crows than I've seen Sunny Days. Sometimes they name themselves after things that catch their fancy. Pop Top, Jujubee, Dead Rat. Sometimes they'll name themselves after aerobatic maneuvers, Death Spiral or Barrel Roll, or after colors, Aubergine or Beetle Black. Many crows offer sounds they're fond of making. Crows are excellent mimics. I've met crows named Windchime, 18-wheeler, and Grouchy Cab Driver, not to mention a few others that are not appropriate for polite company. Down the street lives an aspiring rock band composed of four middle schoolers. They practice in a garage. Their instruments include an accordion, a bass, a guitar, a tuba, and bongo drums. The band has yet to perform outside the garage, but Bongo loves to sit on the roof and sway to their music. If you were named after a favorite sound, kiddos, what would your name be? I think mine would be Silence, because I like to sit and listen to the quiet. It's a really interesting question, though, isn't it? Chapter 5. Names aren't the only way we differ from crows. Some trees are male, some trees are female, and some, like me, are both. It's confusing, as is so often the case with nature. Call me she, call me he, anything will work. Over the years, I've learned that botanists, those lucky souls who study the lives of plants all day, call some trees, such as hollies and willows, dioecious, which means they have separate male and female trees. Lots of other trees like me are called monoecious. That's just a fancy way of saying that on the same plant you'll find separate male and female flowers. It's also evidence that trees have far more interesting lives than you sometimes give us credit for. Chapter 6. One thing trees and crows have in common, in fact, one thing all the natural world has in common, is the rule that we are not supposed to talk to people. It's for our own protection, or at least that's the theory. I've often wondered if the endless silence is a good idea. There have been so many times I've wanted to speak up, to intervene, to help people. I've never said a word, though. That's just the way the world has always worked. Have there been slip-ups? Sure, mistakes have been made. Last year, I heard about a frog named Fly who'd been napping in a mailbox. All frogs are named after the bugs they enjoy eating. When the mailman opened the box, Fly leapt out with a frantic croak. The mailman fainted. He woke up to Fly, who was apologizing profusely, squatting on his forehead. Clearly a breach of the don't talk to people rule. But as always seems to happen, the incident was soon forgotten. After all, the mailman was absolutely certain that frogs can't talk. Just hearing things, he no doubt told himself. Interestingly enough, he retired not long after the frog incident. In any case, when you consider the number of trees and frogs and otters and wrens and dragonflies and armadillos and everybody else in the natural world, you'd think that people would have caught on to our little secret by now. What can I say? Nature is tricky. And people are, well, sorry, but most of you aren't that observant. Perhaps you're wondering if you're a curious or doubting sort, just exactly how trees communicate. You may find yourself inspecting a nearby ponderosa pine, perhaps, or an aspen or sweet gum, puzzling out the magic. People speak with the help of lungs, throats, voice boxes, tongues, and lips, thanks to an intricate symphony of sound and breath and movement. But there are plenty of other ways to convey information. An eyebrow cocked, a giggle stifled, a tear brushed aside. These too are ways you express yourself. For a tree, communication is just as complicated and miraculous as it is for humans. In a mysterious dance of sunlight and sugar, water and wind and soil, we build invisible bridges to connect the world. Frogs have their own ways of connecting. Same for dogs. Same for newts and spiders and elephants and eagles. How exactly do we do it? Well, that's for us to know and you to figure out. Nature also adores a good secret. I'm sure you'd like to hear more of this story. You'll get to meet all the animals that call Red home, and there's a really funny scene involving a baby possum named Flashlight, because all possums like to name themselves after things that scare them. We have several copies of Wish Tree available at the library, and it can also be downloaded as an audiobook or ebook from Overdrive, also available through our library. You go to MuskinghamLibrary.org, and under Digital Downloads, you'll find instructions on how to download Overdrive and its sister app to your device. The sister app is called Libby. And you might find some other books by this author that you would enjoy. She has a new book that just came out this month. Well, kiddos, maybe you could choose a tree in your neighborhood to become a wish tree. We could all use a place to keep some of our wishes and our hopes and dreams safe right now. Just make sure to ask permission first if it's in someone else's yard. Thank you for joining us for story time. Please be sure to join us here on WHIZ Radio, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. for a new story. Be safe and have a great evening.